For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, November the 25th, 1988. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jerry Garner is the speaker of the morning. This is tape one of two tapes on the teaching on the Bride of Christ.
This morning, Jerry Garner is going to just pick up where he left off and teach us about the Bride of Christ this morning. So, Jerry, it's all yours till you get through.
I always need lots of room in case I get a running fit. I spoke in this little church one time, and I literally destroyed the pulpit. I didn't know it was nailed down. I ripped it out of the floor. And the first time I hit it, I go, okay. Keep your hands off of the pulpit. Okay. What is perfected praise? That's not what I'm talking about, but that's what I'm going to say. What is perfected praise? Anybody got an idea? It's in the word. Perfected praise. Out of the mouths of? What had just happened when he said that? Jesus had cleansed the temple. And then he healed every blind eye spiritually. And he healed every spiritually lame person. And he restored every single withered, black, backslidden person in the place. People went crazy. And that highly offended all the Sadducees and Pharisees and the Pharisees. Ooh, look at this ruckus. What's all that noise down the road? It's people who got free and started shouting.
Yes. Amen.
And the place couldn't contain it. All right. Amen. Now, we'll get back on track. I said, wow. Y'all, if we'll ever just get real with God, I sure like what he asked me a while ago about those who can believe. Y'all, that's awesome. We've been lying to ourselves a long time. I believe the sky is blue because I can see it. If you can believe in what you see, feel, taste, touch, smell, you're in trouble. You're sniffing up the wrong tree. This is not where I was going, but it's where I'm being led off to. But he said he would take the simple, confound the wisdom of the wise. I'm about as simple as you get. And a lot of people go, well, confound. And they're not always saying that in the right context either. Well, who does he think he is? It's not who I think I am. It's who I come in the name of.
Yeah.
Period.
Amen.
Okay? And when that song was sang, it wasn't him singing. It was his spirit singing.
Right.
Mary, are you the oldest one in here? Anybody older than Mary? I don't pick on her. Mary, how old are you? Do you mind telling?
I'm
80. Anybody older than that?
I didn't hear.
How old are you? Was anybody? This is Mother's Day. Who's the oldest mother? Remember that? We got anybody older than 83? She won't confess. Who's the youngest? How old is she? 8? Ooh, that's it. Anybody younger than 8? We got an 8 and an 83 that'll confess. Do y'all know their spirits look just alike? Really? Their spirits look just alike to God. Her spirit's just as new and fresh and vibrant as hers, as the day God created it. You see, we keep looking at these old temples of clay. Jesus kept saying, hey, I speak to you spiritual things. Why do y'all still get down here in the grumps about the flesh? And when they got on the boat to go over there, and he said, where's the bread? And they panicked. Oh, we didn't bring no bread. And he said, wait a minute. I'm speaking spiritually, okay? Okay, let's speak spiritually this morning. I'm having trouble seeing that clock. Okay, I won't look at it. I can't see it anyway. But if I could see it, I'd say, I've always wanted to do this. Every time I listen to the tape from up here, turn the tape over now. I've always wanted to do that. Turn your tape over. Gotcha, Glenn. Now. Okay? I won't do that. Please. Okay. All right. Let's go back to that Revelation scripture that I read earlier. I'm going to read it again. And I heard in Revelation 19, chapter 19, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. The body of Christ is a many-membered party. Okay? We don't all look alike, sound alike, smell alike, think alike, believe alike. Okay? We are a peculiar bunch of people. We're potpourri, I guess. Just a mixture of everything. As the sound of many waters, singing a lot of different songs, same tune. As the sound of a mighty thundering, saying hallelujah. I'm always wondering, what did those seven thunders thunder that he was not allowed to write down? I wonder, come on, God. What is it they said that he didn't get to record? Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. He reigns if you and I allow him to reign in our life. Okay? He reigns if we allow him to reign in our life. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. By works? No. She has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. And for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Anybody feel very righteous and holy? Well, then go do something that's righteous and holy. Do something good for somebody and then don't tell anybody.
Amen.
Do it and then sneak off. Don't let anybody know that you did that. Somebody's sick in here and she's gone to the doctor or something. You lay, run over and clean her house and fix her supper and then sneak out right quick. And never get the glory for it. All right? The grass needs mowing, go by the church and mow it when no one's there. And then go home. If you give $10 million to the church, don't do it out in front of everybody with a big ceremony. If you give $10, don't wave it like this. And don't circle down front and drop it in the basket. Get you a big, I'm sorry if I offend anybody. Get you a big trunk and put it by the back door, the front door. People go in and out. Let them slip it in there quietly. It's time for some plain talk. Okay? We ain't putting on a show for God. You come to have your flesh caressed in the wrong place. Glenn, that picture in that little book. My wife thinks I never wear a tie. And the one picture he took of me at camp, I had on a shirt and no tie. And she looked at that picture, she said, I didn't think you'd dress up. I said, I did. I know I did. One time I did and he did. He took my picture. Looks are deceiving, okay? And my flesh don't bother me. It's my wife's flesh that's bothering me. You see, God's been working on the inside for about 5 years, and she's been working on the outside. How many of us think that we were sent here to get somebody else ready? I found a paper clip. Now I can get this hole out of my tie. How many of y'all think that we're put here to clean somebody else up? Okay, good. Talk to the right crowd. We can handle that right quick. Now that we know we're not responsible for anyone else, don't tell her I did this. We're talking about the bride of Christ. And it's essential for our understanding. Remember in Daniel, those of understanding shall instruct many. Okay? The sons of Zadok entered into the Holy of Holies and no wool was over their eyes, meaning they had understanding. They put on no wool garments to make you sweat. They put on linen. People of understanding, I'm working on a series right now, just having understanding. Just to be able to understand. That's the bottom line. If you can memorize and you can recite and you can weep and wail and carry on, but if you don't understand what's going on, you've been robbed. If you don't understand those that can believe, if you can just believe, okay? I don't think you can believe unless you understand first. Understand what you're believing, why you're believing. I don't know, we'll keep going that direction. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Remember, the wedding supper takes place after the wedding. Having said that, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you don't agree with this, you might as well take a nap or go buy you a candy bar and, you know, take a walk. Because if you don't agree with this, I'm sorry. You know, if I offend you, I apologize. If the word offends you, heaven help you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The whole chapter is dealing with the things that happened to the fathers, to Moses and to all the children of Israel throughout all the ages. In verse 11, he makes this most profound statement for me. It may not hit you the way it hit me, but it hit me. Now, all. How many? All. Part of them? No. All these things. Everything that the children of Israel experientially experienced, if that's a word, came forward to us. And he said, now, everything that they walked in, everything they experienced, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition or for our instruction. Okay? On whom the ends of the ages have come. Okay, who is the whom? Are we there? Good. Hallelujah. We're in the right place at the right time. Therefore, take heed him. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Therefore, let him who think he understands doesn't. Therefore, let him who thinks I believe take heed lest he doesn't really believe. You see, that's the fear that grips all of us, the pit of our stomach. We can say we do, but deep down inside we got this little gnaw going on. What if? Well, God is here to pluck that out. Purge out the old leaven and become a new lump. Anybody want to be a lump? Let's be a lump for God. Just be a lump. A lump can be molded. Okay? Anybody want to be molded? Okay. Okay. We're going to start. I don't know when we're going to finish or where. At this point, it doesn't matter. Oh, about those tapes, before I forget that. Those who asked me about spiritual witchcraft, sorcery, divination of spirits, I did find they did copy that back in the summertime. You do have those. I found them back there. And if you want that sermon, go get it. And if it's not clear enough, we may teach it again. Because I think it is absolutely imperative if we are going to be fitly joined together in the days to come. We must understand, like the word said last night, we must be able to separate the precious from the vile. We must be people of understanding. We must know when it's the Spirit of God and when it's not. We've got to know that. And we've got to crucify our pride and say, I may be wrong. I may have been wrong. Forgive me, God. I may have prayed a witchcraft prayer. I may be operating in spirits of divination. We need to know. There's no shame in knowing and getting forgiven. The shame is if you hide it. Because then you will fall short of grace. I'm sorry, it's what the word says. Because bitterness comes in, finally. We get bitter, not better. Okay. Let's get better. We are going to study. I'm going to take it slow. My wife says, slow down. Don't let it float off somewhere. Slow down. Keep it. I said, okay, we'll keep it down here where we can understand it. Everybody turn to Genesis 24. We're going to study. We are going to study. I call this the Bride of Christ series. There is very, very little literally written in the New Testament or the Old Testament about Bride of Christ. So we go to types and foreshadows. Now, if you don't believe in that, we might have another problem. But every time God did something, there was a pattern laid out beforehand, and that pattern was followed. And he allowed or he caused some physical women in the Old Testament to walk out in their life experiences the same identical patterns that you and I are going to walk out spiritually. Okay, that's okay. We're just going to take off on that. And I pray that the Holy Spirit anoint. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for anointing of the Holy Ghost, of revelation knowledge to fall now, Father. Father, we would see Jesus, Father, and I ask for the mind of Christ for each one of us in Jesus' name. I bind all lying spirits and seducing spirits and perversion spirits in Jesus' name. And Father God, I pray that you open the airways above this place. And north, south, and east, and west, Father God, thy warring angels to come, Father God, and do battle for us in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you bind our carnal mind and our own understanding, Father God, that you pour in, Father God, an anointing of the Holy Ghost to burn away that which is dross, and hey, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to take these one by one. I brought seven or eight with me. Types and foreshadows, okay? We speak spiritually. We read in the physical, but we're speaking spiritually here of something that went on. The first, and by the way, if you'll go back and mark that Second Peter that we did with David's wilderness journey, if you remember that back in that tape, David's wilderness journey, the seven stops correlated with Second Peter of chapter 1, verse what, 5, 6, and 7? I was in the Old Testament so far, I can't get back to the New Testament. 5, 6, and 7. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. You remember, each of the hiding places of David in the wilderness matched these steps identically. Now, guess what? The seven types of the bride of Christ also match those steps. God is trying to say, people, wake up. If you will do this, you will be found ready. You won't have to get dressed or borrow a gown from somebody else. You won't have to walk down the aisle behind some other bride. You'll be the bride. You won't be a bridesmaid. Okay? Genesis chapter 24 is our first stop in the Old Testament. It is the story of Rebekah. It's the story of Abraham sending his servant to get a bride for his son Isaac. Verse 1, chapter 24, Genesis. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh. Whenever Jacob wrestled with the angel of God, where did it touch him? Okay, just making a point there. Okay, who rules over God's house right now? Who's the caretaker of all the gifts of the Spirit? Okay, just want to check with you. And I'll make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Canaanites. Do you remember our study of the ites? The Canaanites, the fleshly Canaanites, the money grubbers, the materialistic side of our flesh. Okay? But you shall go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? Do you remember last night's lesson? Do not return to them. Bring them to where you are. Okay? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, and he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. Okay, we're going to start jumping around here a little bit. Verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Okay, the Holy Spirit has been sent from God with all that he has, all the gifts of the Spirit. Camel loads are parked outside. What's the camel? Burden bearer. Okay? Everything that Abraham owned, he sent for this one thing, to get a bride for his son. Everything that Abraham had accomplished, everything that he had ever dreamed or thought, came down to one point, the bride. He was willing to risk it all for the bride. Anybody feeling more important right now but God? Okay, I'm going to paraphrase some of this for you, because the Holy Spirit prepared the whole way for this guy. He says, you will know her. She'll come out to the well to draw water. She will know you. I'm setting the whole thing up. Just go and do what I say. When you're brought before them, don't be concerned about how you'll answer. Speak what I tell you to speak. There's too many prepared, memorized sermons being uttered out right now in the land. And they're afraid to deviate from what they got because they might lose control. They're so afraid of a little bitty fire or a wildfire, they'll turn off all the flames in the house. Just let go and let God. And just pray that what's left standing is God, okay? Because it's going to happen anyway. Okay, in verse 19, she offered him a drink of water in 18. Remember Jesus said, you gave me a drink when I was thirsty? Okay. You can't share a drink of water if you ain't got none to get to begin with. If you ain't been drinking at the well, you can't share with somebody else. Extra water. Not just yourself satisfied, extra. That's what happened to the five of the virgins, though. Bridesmaids. They had oil, but they didn't have enough oil to make it. Make sure you got enough to share, not just to get you through. Well, I got mine, bless God. I got it canned and jarred and waiting for the tribulation. Get all you can all you get. And when she had finished giving him a drink in verse 19, she said, I will draw water for your camels also, until they have finished drinking. 10 camels. Do you know how much water 10 camels can drink? 500 gallons, really? In a little pot? Some of y'all feel like you've been poured out too many times? Well, keep on pouring. You only just begun. Come on, keep pouring. But God, I already did that. I believe for that. God, I've done that for 10, 15, 35 years, God. Keep pouring. Keep being poured out for God.
That's right.
Right? Keep filling the trough. The camel's slurping it up. You keep filling it up, okay? Then she hastened and emptied her pitcher in the trough and ran back to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent. Silence was heard in heaven for 30 minutes. Okay. So as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. You see, God's watching. God knows. God hears. He's watching what? The wicked? Nah. He's not worried about the wicked. Who's he watching? Watching us. What's he using to measure us by? What he hears us saying? No, not really. The intents of your heart? Why you do what you're doing? God, I'm going to church. I've been going to church for 50 years. I ain't missed a Sunday. I got a little button. I'm doing good. I play the organ. I've swept the floors. I've done this. Ain't I good? And God's looking at one of the coldest, dirtiest, blackest hearts in town. I'm sorry if I have talked plain, but I do. It's time for all that stuff to come down. It's time for man's religion to be chipped away and let it fall down and where it belongs, okay? Because it's filthy rags in the eyes of God. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, whose daughter are you? Bride, whose daughter are you? Whose image are you in? Is there more flesh on you than spirit? Are you operating out of soul power? Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please. Oh, here's the golden remark. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? Is there room in you for the Holy Spirit to dwell? Or has he been squeezed out? By I, me, and mine. My ministry. Look what I did. Look what God did for me. Sure, it's quiet. Y'all either are asleep or something. Y'all, this hit me the same way it hit y'all. Watch out. But something about y'all, it's a cleansing. The truth plucks out the garbage. Okay? That's what I come for. So she said, I am the daughter of Bethel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. She has provisions. Let's go over to verse 30. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring, this Rebekah got back to the house and her brother Laban saw it. When he saw the nose ring and the bracelet on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of the sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man And there he stood at the camels, by the camels at the well, and he said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." Is your house prepared for the Holy Spirit to abide in there? Sobering thought, isn't it? This place was prepared. Preparations had been made. Did they know he was coming? Did they know when? No idea. Just showed up at the well with a bunch of camels. Does anybody know when Jesus is coming? No. Just going to show up. And what? Preparations have already been made. Don't scurry around when he gets here. Just fall on your knees and ask for grace and mercy. Okay. Then the man came to the house and lent over the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Back up in 30, you notice that when Laban came out and he saw the nose ring and the silver bracelets, he knew. Anybody ever raised cattle? Why do you put that ring in that bull's nose? Come here. Bleeding, right? You got a nose ring in here this morning? Being gently led by the Holy Spirit? Where he wants to go, not where you want to go? Rebecca was a bride. I call her the bride of faith. By faith, she went to the well. By faith, she watered all them dirty camels. By faith, she had already made preparations at home. By faith, she talked to a stranger at the well. By faith, she invited him home. She didn't ask her mom and brother, "Is it okay?" By faith, she invited him in. By faith, she didn't know who Isaac was. Never seen him, didn't know him, hadn't heard, didn't know nothing. By faith, she received him. She made a commitment to marry the guy. She went through all of these things by faith. Jumping over to verse 53, after a lot of things have gone on, you go back and read. I challenge everyone to go back and read the whole chapter of Genesis 24, because the Holy Spirit will only add to what I'm already saying. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Gifts to the whole body, everybody. But special gifts to the bride. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder or delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah, and he said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And I'm telling you, church, will you go all the way with Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit? Will you leave what is familiar? Will you leave where you grew up? Will you leave all of that behind? Will you lay down all your talents? Will you lay down all your intellect? Will you lay down all your emotions? Will you lay down everything that you have ever experienced and go on with God? If you will, he'll take you to a new place. A walk in the Spirit. A new way of living. A new song in your heart. And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. Now, before we leave the bride of faith, remember, we're talking about the characteristics, okay, of the bride of Christ. From Rebekah and her story, we now acquire a measure of faith. We look at her example, our instruction from Rebekah on by faith we receive Jesus Christ. By faith and no other way. Over in chapter 25 in verse 3, after she came and married, she got pregnant. Most of us can identify exactly with Rebecca at this point. In verse 22, she was pregnant, but the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, and God already told her all is well, if all is well, and we're saying in our life, if I'm a son of God, why is there a battle in me? If all is well, why am I this way? Oh, boy. If we're all who we say we are, why are we this way? Why do we still have contentions and divisions and fear and doubt? If all is well, God, why are we still this way? What's wrong? Where are we? What's going on? What did he tell her? And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. And I'm telling you right now, bride, you're pregnant, and there's two nations in your womb. One's the flesh and one's the spirit. And they're warring against one another. They both want to rule. Brother Tommy preached about that, didn't he? When I was here before in July. The flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. They are enmity. You see, most of us, when we come into that understanding of who God is and who Christ is as our Savior, and we get, quote, we get saved, scratch, we start salvation, we're doing fine for about 6 months, aren't we? Everything's fine. Everything's beautiful. Then all of a sudden, oops. It's at that oops point that we all take them aside and say, don't worry. Two nations are in you. It's your flesh and your spirit warring. But nobody ever tells anybody that, do they? Nobody ever sits down and explains what's going on. Oh, it's all right. So you mess up a few times, just go and sin no more. They need to know what's going on in your life. Your flesh wants to stay here. Your spirit wants to fly off. They're warring against each other. And your soul's sitting there going, I don't really care which way I go. He just catalogs, right? Your soul just experiences everything. Okay. That's the bride of faith. That's Rebecca. Her name literally means in the Hebrew, beauty. She was so beautiful, it meant to clog or to tie up. Spellbounding. Anybody ever looked in the face of somebody that, quote, just met Jesus? It's beautiful, isn't it? Wow. And you feel beautiful. You feel clean. Ooh. Everybody remember that feeling that you felt when you came that, ooh, we're supposed to stay like that. Ooh. If not, he said, you've left your first love, church. If you don't love me now more than you did then, you've left your first love, church. Bride, you ought to have that feeling plus. And if we don't, we've been cheated and lied to. Because God is a what? A God who he changes not, but what? Ever constantly moving. On. Up. Okay. Everybody got Rebecca down? Well, we did good. Okay. Rebecca, bride of faith, by faith. Then what do you add to your faith? Virtue. This is the tough part for some of us. In 1 Kings chapter 1, virtue. Virtue. What does it mean to be a virgin before God? Virtue in the spirit. Virtue. Now David was old. First we had Abraham and he was old. Now King David is old. Advanced in years. And they put covers on him. But he could not get warm. The love of many shall wax cold. Do you remember that scripture? The love of many shall wax cold. Praise and worship in the church shall wax cold. You've been in some meetings where it is so waxed cold that you got the shivers. Understanding has left. Virtue is not there. Knowledge is not there. Joy is not there. Their love has waxed cold. David was waxing cold. Therefore his servant said to him, let a young woman, a virgin, be sought for our Lord the King, and let her stand or serve before the King, and let her care for him, and let her lie in your bosom, and be our Lord the King, may be warm. So they sought for a lovely young woman throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the King. And the young woman was very lovely, and she cared for the king and served him, but the king did not know her sexually. Now, Abishag means in Hebrew Father of error. Ooh, interesting. Blundering. Interesting. Sin by or through ignorance. God looks on us as a virgin in areas where we know not of. And we sin through ignorance. Those are covered. Stop fretting. When you come into the knowledge of something, don't go, ooh. Don't do that. Keep going forward. Don't worry about what happened. Don't worry about that. Don't worry if you ate 10 pounds of pork yesterday, right? It's gone. Ain't worried about that. Don't worry if you got to rush home and rip down owls and frogs out of your house. It's all right. Okay? But after having come to the understanding and awareness of God, okay. Is enough about that? Okay. Shunammite. Rest quietly in Hebrew. This virtuous young lady named Abishag was a Shunammite, meaning to rest quietly. I challenge every one of y'all, can you really rest quietly in the Lord? Or are you sitting there straining? I'm resting before the Lord. I'm believing God. And you just stuff full like a turkey of fear and doubt and dread and this. I'm believing God for this. Ooh, rest in the Lord. Ooh, I'm resting. Ooh, I'm resting. I'm resting until He hurry up and do something. There is a big difference in being at peace, y'all heard me say it before, versus being in pieces. Be at peace. That goes back to last night. Christ said, if I'm in you and then you, Jerry Garner, if all your fear and your anxiety, if you're worried about your three teenage sons and one of them seeks to go to college, oh my, and he wants to be a lawyer, oh my, or one of them gets sick and you haven't got insurance, oh my, or your wife keeps saying, we need a bigger house. These kids are growing and we got 1,200 square feet and I can't get in the house because their long legs are sticking out in the den. Don't, she said, and don't bring one thing more into this house. And last Tuesday I went over and helped that guy clean out his office and they gave me two big old chairs. And Linda says, not one more thing in this house. There's not any more room. But the bride is resting quietly. She is anxious for nothing. She fears not and she frets not. Because as long as it matters, Satan done pushed your matter burden. Ooh. He knows where to get us, doesn't he? Just smile at him. That just, ooh, it tears him up. It's okay. I got a big God. He's already whooped you anyway. Okay. Now, while the young virgin was willing, out of ignorance she had sinned, you might say even out of ignorance, she walked right into it. Has anybody ever walked right into the glory of God out of ignorance? Just, ooh. He talked about it last night. We've gone places that, you know, we don't really know. We're just going by faith. Just walk into something. I didn't know God was. I've been to some strange churches, and I walked into some stuff that I thought, is this God? And then all of a sudden God's over here and go, ooh. See, I fear not. I fret not. It doesn't matter, does it? If it's God, it's God. And if it's not, it's going to blow away anyway. So don't worry about it. Don't measure and keep score and remember the Amorite tongue and remember all those lords of the Philistines. One of them was, they kept score, tit for tat. They weighed and measured everything. Satan gets you over here, boy, I'm going to figure this thing out. And you'll spend 6 months working on something and he's done tied you up. And God said, let's get over here and do this. Okay? Okay, trust the Holy Spirit. The sons of God are those who are what? Led by the Spirit. Okay, don't follow your own nose. Follow God. Now remember, this young virgin could not marry David, could not have an inheritance in the kingdom, could not ever have children. You might say she was a eunuch, could not reproduce. The sons of God cannot reproduce themselves. I can't go to some person and clean them up and make them look and act like Jerry Garner. And you can't either. And I have a warning. If this is on tape, maybe I shouldn't say it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I have a warning for some of these churches that start reproducing themselves. Right. Some of them are my friends. If they do something that's successful in this city, well, let's go over here and put one over here and put one over here and put one over here. I don't think God said do that. Did he? He might not want the little things all sprinkled all over the country. He may be doing something different over in this area. Let God be God. Okay? Don't try to package what God's given you and spend it all over the country. I got it. I got it. Here's your share. Next month you'll get another portion. Just hang on to that. God's leaders need to be able to be led first. So if you think you got it, nobody else has got it, watch out. Okay. Do you understand the bride of virtue, Abishag? She's willing to give up everything. She's willing to lay across him and keep him warm. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Bride of Christ, you're going to have to be able to be willing to lay across the old, cold, dead body, bring it warmth. You have to take care of the old church. It's like Ruth. Remember, oh, turn the tape over. Remember, to God, all she was a warm body. Bride, all God wants out of you is a warm body. He'll do the rest. Want his gifts, not my gifts. Because that's at the point that you lay down your soulish powers. God, send me your gifts of the Spirit. Send me your Holy Spirit to minister. Okay? It's a process. But you've got to get to that point where, here I am, God. All I am is a warm body. Take me. Use me. Make me. Okay? That's what she was. That is being in front of God as a virgin. There's a very interesting little side note that I just have to tell you about down the bottom in verse 7. Actually, I better read you 5. Now, Adonijah, the son of Haggai, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, why have you done so? Christians, watch out. In Psalms, I think it's 73, fret not because of evildoers that they prosper. Don't think that your heavenly Father is not watching and knows what's going on in the world. The wicked are growing more wicked. They're growing prosperous. They're going to appear to flourish. They're going to get stronger. We're going to have to do with less and less and less materially, but more spiritually. Some Christians may start thinking, well, God's not watching. Or God don't care. Or God's delaying his coming. But he's not. What's he doing? He's allowing the cup-ending nation to fill up and let those who do wicked continue to do more wickedly, right? All right. David is lying in the bed. He is so cold that a young virgin has been brought to lay across him to keep him warm. He is not dead. He is alive. He is listening. He is seeing. He knows all. Okay? He knows what's going on. One of his sons, a church or a group of people on earth decide, well, we'll be the new king. We will take over. We'll exalt our throne. And the father said nothing. He was also a very good-looking man. Y'all, this is hidden manna. What a lot of people are experiencing in, quote, the Christian world right now looks good. Sounds good. But it doesn't doeth good for you. This one's religion is what? Profit of him, nothing. It's vanity. It's empty. One thing that concerns me, and I started mentioning to the other ministers last night, the one thing that concerns Jerry Garner more right now about our fellowship at home or the one in Fairfield where I go every weekend, and anytime I speak, my concern is that the people, first of all, if they cannot hear or will not hear, then if they hear and then don't do, I'm very concerned about that. And I try to address that. I stay after them and I watch them to see if what we've planted is beginning to take root. You got to weed your garden every day if you want to have good greens out there, don't you? Right. Okay. Enough said about that. He was a very good-looking man. His mother had borne him after Absalom. Then he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah. Okay, here we go. The one world government, the Antichrist spirit, All those big conglomeration things that some of us know a lot of things about, some of us know a little bit about, doesn't really matter. It's still going to happen. We can't stop it. Don't try. Just don't ye be deceived by it. These things should not overtake you. Okay? Now, he went and got him some help. He got him a warrior and he got him a priest. They got the army. They got acceptable religion to stamp their approval. They throw a big party. They kill the fatted calf. But in verse 8, but Zadok, and I may even mention just a minute the sons of Zadok, that's us. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jedidiah, Nathan the prophet, and a few other mighty men of God did not go with Adonijah. That's us, y'all. Don't be deceived. Don't be let off. Something starts going on real big and they got it. It looks good and smells good. Don't go to that table and eat. There is a hell. There is a devil. There is a God. It's enough about that. But in verse 10, he threw this big party but did not invite Nathan the prophet or the other guy or Solomon, his brother. We may not be invited to the party. I hope I don't. I hope I don't get no invitation. In verse 15, so Bathsheba went into the chamber of the king. The lady interceded for her son Solomon. Okay. Solomon. You want to hear his name in Hebrew? Are we a chosen generation, a royal priesthood? Are we going to rule and reign with him? Then I challenge you and I charge you, you priestly kings of the kingdom that's coming, you will be peaceful, safe, well, happy, friendly, healthy, prosperous. You'll have favor. You'll be great. You'll be perfect. You'll be at rest, quietly, wholly, wholly. May you be preserved blameless, body, soul, and spirit, whole together. The Lord gave me a prophecy or a word one time for Rick Godwin. He and I are kind of friends. I mean, I like him and he likes me. I mean, we don't know that each other that much, just casually. And I was writing my whole thing about, you know, not liberty in the spirit is not occasion for the flesh. You know, it's not an opportunity for the flesh. And the bottom of the Holy Spirit had me write the strangest thing about, I have not come to destroy the flesh, but to purge it and purify it, and then join it too. And also, for the first time in my little mind, it began to click. Wait a minute. God wants to preserve us. I mean, I grew up in the little churches, and everything was preaching. Crucify the flesh, destroy the flesh, fly off the spirit, you know. Space cadet. If you live spiritual, in other words, if you think you're on hold and you're so heavenly minded out here all day, da-da-da-da-da, you can't function around because you're so spiritually minded, that you've crucified the flesh. Get a grip. Read Colossians. It's vanity. It said, y'all stay in Kings. I just got to go read you one little thing. Yes, stay where you are, Mary. Oh, what you got? I'm just going to read something out loud to you. I'll tell you where it's at. In Colossians 2:18, let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from which all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase which is from God. Verse 23 of that same chapter. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and the neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. There are not enough things that you and I can do, or stop doing, or not ever do, in the flesh that'll get us one inch closer to God in the Spirit. Okay? So, lay it all down. Say, God, okay. It don't matter. I don't care. It's all right, God. You made me, now remake me. God can work with that. We have a virtuous situation with Abishag the Shunammite. Okay? She gives us our characteristic, our background, our pattern. Go back and read about her. Read about how willing she was to lay down all and not to have anything of inherited value in this place. If you're wanting an earthly kingdom, you're going to miss the earthly king when he comes. The Jews rejected him because he wasn't what they wanted. He wasn't what they were expecting. And when he comes back, he may not look like what we think he's supposed to be. He may not agree with the way we feel. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If you're looking for a power to manipulate or do something, if it doesn't speak and bring life and godliness into your life and the life of others, leave it alone. It's not God. His power brings and produces life in you and other people and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, what? Through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption or the depravity that is in the world through lust. And please, 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 when you see the word lust, don't put sex by it and think just sex. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, lust of the pride of life. Spirits of lust do a lot more to us than affect us sexually. Lusting after a reward from man, lusting after recognition, lusting after success. Too many preachers are working themselves the wrong direction in such a lust to create something big and powerful and beautiful that runs good in a big church. I don't know how these guys do it. I don't know how they effectively pastor more than 200 people or even that many. How can they be effective in the ministry to a person's life? I've been to churches where the preacher is ushered in and ushered out and you never see him. Then he's not a pastor. He's a teacher or a preacher or an evangelist. But he's not the pastor. He's not my pastor. He doesn't pastor anybody. Okay. Take a deep breath. Okay. We got faith. We now have virtue. All you virgins realize all it takes to be a virgin is a warm body that's been submitted, that is not looking for an inheritance here in this place. Virtuously before God. Coming to God and say, God, I ain't much, but this is it. He said, I know I created you. Okay? Don't anybody try to get clean and go to God. It won't work. You'll never make it. Go to God and he'll do the cleaning. Somebody said, how do you get these things out of you, these spirits? I said, well, all I know is we'll keep shoving in the Holy Spirit and poof, we'll squeeze out everything that ain't God. When you get so filled up with God, I mean, it's got to go, right? If you don't turn on the TV or the radio or talk on the phone and you concentrate and meditate holy body, soul, and spirit on the Word of God, I can guarantee you something's going to happen in your life. Every inch of you, every fiber, every thought that you have is renewed. Now that's the power of God to change. It's alive in here. Okay. I'm going to have my jaws retreaded. Let's go over to Judges. I have to ask my half-brother to bring me a glass of water. In Judges, after having faith and realizing we're virgins. Get your little keychain that says virgin. Make everybody ask, what's that mean? Let me tell you. In God's eyes, I'm a virgin. And I'm willing to act like one. Okay, bride number 3. Deborah, bride of knowledge. Oh, I'm sorry, Judges chapter 4, verse 1. Deborah, knowledge, judge. Her name defined in Hebrew, means orderly motion. All things done in order. Divine order. The bee, isn't that interesting, the bee? Her name is the bee. Remember the bees that he sent to disperse the enemy that time and stung them all and chased them all? I'll send some bees after them. All you judges and all you Deborahs and all you brides of Christ, God's going to send you out to sting the enemy. God's got a sense of humor. Made a giraffe, didn't he? Thank you. My whole brother. Okay. Oh, thank you. The bee, from its systematic instinct. Ooh. Oh. Wait, God. You mean we're supposed to instinctly know what to do? If the Spirit of God is in you, you'll know instinctly what to do. You won't have to run and say, let's get a fleece. Let's call three prayer warriors. Let's get a prophet. Let's do something. I'm sorry. The bride of Christ will instinctively know. Why? Because it comes from the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit of God, she will know. Systematically. When Glenn and Irma go pray with somebody, or when Gene prays, we start praying with somebody, you systematically go down the line. Break curses. Let's do all this. Led by the Spirit of God. This Spirit, that Spirit. Systematically. Taking care of business. In an orderly motion. Her name also means to speak, rarely in a destructive sense. Okay, all you brides of Christ, you will begin to rarely speak destructively. Rarely. Some things need to be destroyed in people's lives. But don't use this double-edged sword in your mouth to slay everything. Don't cut down the wheat and the flax together. Slash it all up. Well, I'll get it, bless God. Clean house. It also means to answer. You'll have the answer when people have the question. Also means to appoint when people need direction. It also means to declare when there's a disruption and you need to have some direction on what to do. Also means to teach. All of that's contained in the name Deborah in the Hebrew. Go study it. In Judges chapter 4, verse 1, and I started 1 because I wanted to mention Ehud, whatever his name is. When Ehud was dead, he's one of my favorite characters. You know what he was responsible for? He killed her. Who? Oh, Jezebel. They threw her out of the window. Who? The eunuchs. You eunuchs for God, gonna throw old Jeze out the window. At the horse gate. Got run over. Dogs ate her. Had a big funeral. Not much. All was left with what? The skull, the palms of the hand, the feet. What does God anoint? Hands, the feet, and the head. Ate the rest. I just had to throw that in. I used to walk cautiously around Jezebel. Mm-mm. God, what are you going to do with that? She don't bother me no more. Go up and hug her. Say, hey, Jeze, come here. I'm going to squeeze it. Come on, Jeze. You're loved anyway. You just don't know it. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of God. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of the Canaan. Oh, king of Canaan. Sold them back to the old flesh guy. Who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera. Y'all remember him? Okay. Verse 3. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. I would say the enemy right now has 900-something chariots of iron. And he's running up and down our valleys. And we're running to and fro trying to get out of the way. For 20 years. Ooh, only half the 40. Oh, only half the tribulation. Interesting. For 20 years, he harshly oppressed the children of Israel. And the great dragon, since he couldn't devour the child, went to make war on the rest of her offsprings. Didn't he? For 3.5 years. Okay, just checking. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Laboth, was judging Israel at that time. You know what Deborah's name means? By the way, this is the only one of the types of the bride of Christ that was married. She was a judge. She's a woman preacher. Probably an elder. Okay. His name means in the Hebrew to shine a lamp, a light. The bride of Christ is married to the one that's a lamp unto our path, a light unto our way. Notice she was a prophetess. She was an anointed one. She was just a prophetess. She was a judge. The people of Israel came to her. Why? Because of her knowledge, her understanding, her wisdom. Those of understanding shall instruct many. Deborah sat down under that tree. They came to her. She didn't send out tapes and request, let me come preach and tell you something. They came seeking her. If you got something God's given you to share, you won't have to promote it. Right? You've experienced it, I know. God will promote it. God opens the doors. God does it. And when he does it, hang on. Because he's going to do something about it. Okay? And she sat under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel. Hallelujah. This is where it's at, y'all. Do you know what Bethel means? House of God. You know what Ramah means? House of idolatry. Seat of idolatry. Deborah stood in a place and judged between what was godly and what was ungodly. She sat in a place of judging and separating the vile from the precious. She had understanding. And the people who didn't know which house to go to worship came to her with their problems. Bride of Christ, that's you in the coming days. When people get so confused, they don't know what to do. They don't know if it's spiritual witchcraft or charismatic witchcraft or what. They're going to come to somebody that has some understanding. And if you don't understand, and if your life isn't cleaned out of all the soul power, how are you going to discern for her or them when they come to you? He said, if you return, okay, if you teach them to take out the precious from the vile, then you'll be my mouth. Wondering why we're not used of God? Then she sent and called for Barak from Kadesh and said to him, this is a question now. Get this, I'm going to read this whole question to you just like she told him. Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali, the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army with his chariots, all those 900 iron chariots in the valley, and his multitude at the river of Kishon, and I will deliver them into your hand. She's going to say, Barak, hasn't God said he's going to do it? Why aren't you doing it? God is waiting for what? The church to come alive and begin, give me just a minute, to make Ephesians 3:9, to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What is the mystery? Which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. If you're not in Christ, you will not understand the mystery of God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, or through Jesus Christ, to the intent. And when she called Barak and said, God has already said it, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by who? The church. To who? The principalities or the rulers and the powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is waiting for the bride of Christ or the church to rise up and carry out what he's already said, I'm going to do. Now go do it. That's what Deborah said to him, Barak. And what did he say? I'll go if you'll go with me. Jesus has already said, I will if you will. I'll come into you if you come into me. It's two parts. I kind of hate that little saying, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Well, he accepted me. Makes it, you turn the tables on him like that. Well, I let him be my Savior. I finally let him. Satan has done a number with our language, and he's messed us up. It's our Amorite king in our mouth, isn't it? Those five lords of the Amorites. If you don't understand them, get that tape back there and listen to the five lords of the Amorites is hiding in your cave, your mouth. Cut his head off, throw him back in, and say, shut up, tongue. Deborah is our bride of knowledge. She is the picture of us judging in the end times. She is a picture of us carrying out orders from God. Okay? She's married. By that point, we've married Christ. You understand now? You can go back and finish reading that. It's a super story. Oh, when they sang the song of Deborah and Barak. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But in interest of time, we're going to move on. Okay. You got that? Rebecca, by faith. Abishag the Shunammite, by virtue. Warm body. Deborah, by knowledge. Knowing what to say and what to speak. Being able to judge between the vile and the precious. Being able to understand. Y'all, that's what I want more than anything else from God. I want to know. I know God. Now I want to know what down here. God, what? Which is which? What's going on, God? If I can't find somewhere to go to church, I'll never go again if it's not God. I'm sick of that stuff. That soulless worship and all that manipulation and all that do the stuff and put the show on. That's a stench in God's nostrils. He's sick of it. He's going to be easier on the sodomites, didn't he say out there? It'll be easier on them in that day. Okay. Joshua chapter 2. After you have acquired faith and you realize that you're a virgin before God, and after you acquire knowledge, next on our step in 2 Peter is self-control. In Joshua, the second chapter, verse 1. By the way, I have two brides for this, and it's kind of interesting now that I look back on what I was studying. God gave me one out of the Old Testament and one out of the New Testament. Because it's at this point that all of us sinners, now some of y'all are not sinners, I realize that, y'all are pretty clean. But some of us old sinners, we get brought in at this point. We, through self-control, the bride of self-control, Rahab and Mary Magdalene, brought in. You see, we once were in bed with the world, now we got out. And they still think we're in bed with them, don't they? They still point the finger. I know what you did. I know him. He's just an old carpenter from over here. That don't bother me. Does it bother you? Shouldn't. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two spies. Woo-hoo. Two witnesses, maybe, in the end times. Sent out two men from the acacia grove to spy secretly, saying, he's coming as a thief in the night, y'all, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Isn't this interesting? Start your salvation walk with Christ, and you get renewed in your spirit, you get filled with the Spirit, you begin to try to walk in something, and the old king comes in, bring it out. Is it really in there? Oh, I bet you don't believe that. What do you mean you don't do that no more? Challenge, right off, right? Rahab was challenged. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. God says, if you'll hide it in your heart, don't worry about him who can destroy the flesh. Right? She wasn't worried about her flesh being destroyed. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, the men were out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them to the roof and hidden them with the sacks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. How about that? If you're up on the top of the roof and something happens, don't run down and get your clothes, right? Okay, just checking. Then the men pursued them by the road of the Jordan and to the fords, and as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. So before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us. You see, most people don't believe that God has a terror. Very few people fear God. You better fear God. And that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. their hearts shall fail them. Faint-hearted. But you'll not faint. You'll mount up with wings of eagles. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites. Hallelujah, by the word of their testimony. Slay the two kings of the Amorites, and by the word of their testimony, they overcame what? His image, his mark, his nature. They overcame the flesh. They overcame the spirit of the Antichrist in them. They overcame his image being in them, the number of his name. They cast out sorcery and divination of spirits. They overcame to the overcomers, standing on a sea of glass, having harps of God, singing a new song. They overcame the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Okay, I'll paraphrase the rest of it because it's quite lengthy. She made a deal with them that they save her and her household when they came back to destroy. Her signal was the scarlet rope out the window. That's the blood of Christ, by the way. Now, what would happen if some other people in the city had walked out the wall and seen the scarlet rope hanging out the window? Who let the spies down? She had to stand. You're going to have to stand. You're going to be chased. You're going to have to stand and let your rope hang out the window. You're going to have to stand for God. Because he says, to those who endure shall be saved. When things heat up, don't pull your rope in. Oops. I'll hide my Christianity right now until they're gone. I don't want to offend them. You better offend them. That's what's wrong with the world now. They haven't been offended enough. Us Christians just let it slide. Somebody say, you mind if I smoke? Yeah, it stinks. Don't do that. I'm sorry. Okay. Right across the page in my Bible is Joshua 3:10. I just have to read it to you because it's a little checkpoint I like to use. By the way, you know the story of Rahab, her household. Everybody that came into her house was saved. Remember the scripture I gave you last night, those believing for mates and family members? Everybody in her household was saved. They weren't all innocent. Her daddy, her brothers, her sisters, and their kids, they weren't all innocent. They were saved because of her, because of the blood of the Lamb that was hanging out the window. Okay? Is the blood on your door? Your house is covered. Joshua 3:9. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear. Two parts. Come here. Now hear. A lot of people don't mind coming over, but they don't want to hear. Come, hear, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that who? The living God, not the dead God, the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. He said, without fail, Christians, without fail, if God, the living God, is among you, you will change. You will not have the characteristics of the ites in your flesh. You will not be led by the flesh or your soul power. If God's among you, and if you do, he ain't. Period. Awesome, isn't it? The Word of God is living, live like a double-edged sword, able to divide asunder what? What? Spirit and soul. It's going to separate out what's soul power and what is really the Spirit of God.
Yes.
I'm going to pray that prayer in just a little bit with y'all. No, I'm praying now. If you agree. Because when I came across this, I began to pray. I said, God, I want you to cancel, to take out, everything that I have in ability in the soul, remove it. All soul power means giving up my intellect, my emotion, all of that. God, anything that I can manipulate in myself, take it out. Where's Patty? She want me to pray. She want to pray with me on this. Go tell Patty we're going to pray her prayer. I've been working on her too. Hallelujah. Anybody feel condemnation? It's not condemnation. The Word of God is truth. and it brings life to you. It's a big, deep, fresh breath. Rahab, out of self-control. Can you imagine a harlot? A harlot. Everybody knew she was. Can you imagine Mary Magdalene walking around with Jesus, and everybody knew what she was? She had been demonized. Can you imagine the ridicule that she had to take? We know you. Who's the accuser, night and day? You know what her name means in Greek? Love it. Patty, hang on a minute. Love what her name means. When I found out what Mary Magdalene meant in Greek, I go, ooh, I can just see it. The tower means to stand. And I could just see this picturesque, very big old Mary Magdalene just stand up, able to take it. Too many of us Christians aren't able to take the heat from our friends and family and the accusers and the false and the unchaste, illegitimate sons of God that call themselves sons of God, because they have to point the finger. The only way they can elevate themselves is to put somebody else down. Mary Magdalene and Rahab were both harlots. We've been harlots. We've been married to the world. We've been in bed with the world. We are now chaste virgins. We are now brought up in the image of Him. We are to stand like a tower. Okay, Patty, I didn't mean to embarrass you. I just wanted to have you come out. Because when I pray this prayer, I want everybody that wants to agree with me to stand up, and we're going to pray this together. I'm going to pray it for you, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to remove all of our soul power and all of our soulish nature that would manipulate His Holy Spirit, okay? We don't want to manipulate the Spirit of God. We want to be led by the Spirit of God, okay? Let's stand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, I ask for Your Holy Spirit to come, Father God. We present ourselves to You, Father God, by faith as a virgin, Father God. We have not known in days past, Father God, but we're standing in faith, Father God. And we now ask for the knowledge, Father God, just like Deborah had, Father God. We ask for the knowledge. We ask for understanding like Solomon prayed for, Father God. We ask for that in our lives, Father God. We ask for Your sword to divide asunder a truth from a lie, Father. We ask for Your living word to come and divide asunder our soul and our spirit, Father God, that we might identify what is You and what is soulish power, flesh power, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask You right now to eliminate, to eradicate, to take out, to cancel all of our soulish power, Father God, all the manipulating spirits in us, Father God. In Jesus' name, Father God, we ask for an outpouring of Your Holy Spirit to come in, Father God, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, Father God. Anoint us with new oil, new wine. Renew our minds. Create a clean heart in us, Father God. Father God, we acknowledge that against You and You only have we sinned, Father. So to You and to You only we ask forgiveness. And we now repent, Father God. We crucify our pride and our boastfulness and our vanity and say, God, we have not known. But now, Father God, we want to be people of understanding, Father God. So would You now cancel, Father God, and remove our ability, our talents, our fears and our doubts about ourselves, Father God, to operate soulishly, Father, in Jesus' name. And all those who agreed said, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Glenn, it's 6 till we can go on or we can persevere. I got 3 more brides to go. Don't matter to me. If you want to add it later, fine. Or if you want to do it now, fine. What? Do it later. Me too. We need a break. You got to chew on that like the old cow with a cud. I know what a cud is now. Cud is nothing more than just re-chewing what you already chewed up once. Burp it up, chew on it during lunch, and whenever we come back, we'll do it some more, okay? Is that all, Glenn? You bless the food? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that You bless this natural food to our natural bodies, Father God. May it be healing, may it be strength, may it be renewing, Father, in Jesus' name. And I ask for a blessing to rest upon this camp, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.